Okay, I think we're ready to get started. Kirby's on the line, so we'll start off with calling the meeting to order and begin with with introductions and roll call and attendance for the minutes. Kirby, if you want to help Kayla with that, we'll turn it over to you too.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. Before I get to roll, I just want to remind everyone to please mute your phones or your computers if you're not speaking, just to prevent any feedback from coming through. Like Tim said, my name is Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. If you're logged in via your computer, it'll be listed as Amy Holland because I'm signed in under her name, but it's Kirby with the department. Just another reminder that per Governor Lee's Executive Order 60, this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted to the department website within the next day or two. So let's get started with roll call. What I'll do first is I'll go through the individuals who have logged in via computer because I can see their names. And then I'll go to individuals who have called in rather than joined via computer. So again, my name's Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I see Joey Ondrak, Kubra or Cal Bryant, Kurt Hipple, Melissa Birdwell, Tim Perry, Vonda Wagner, and I see Melanie, but I don't see your last name. Melanie, what is your last name? I think you're on mute. There you go.
Too many clicks. Ison, I-S-O-N.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.
Individuals that called in, I know we have Kayla Withrow who has called in. And Stephanie, you had called in earlier. What is your last name, Stephanie? Hold on. Sorry, Stephanie. Can you?
That's okay.
I had you on mute. I'm sorry. What's your last name, Stephanie?
It's Bullock, B-U-L-L-O-C-K, and I'm with Frontier Health.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And who are the other individuals that have called in?
Sam Slagle.
Hi, Sam.
Hunter Hancock with Disability Rights, Tennessee.
Yes, I could have said that. You just mentioned it. Hi, Hunter.
Hello.
Anyone else that has called in that I've missed in roll call?
So, Kirby, if you don't mind, I do just want to go through a short list of our typical agencies and just see if they're being represented today.
Sure.
I'll just kind of shout out the list. I know we have Frontier Health people because I recognize a lot of the names. Anyone from TCCY? Anyone
yes.
from
Hello. I'm oh, sorry, this yeah. is this is Jill Stott with TCCY.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Jill. I will add you to the list. All right. Anyone from Youth Villages? Anyone from NAMI? I believe I did hear an MCO. Which insurance agency is that representing? I think I heard Kubra. Maybe not.
I believe Kubra is United Healthcare.
Okay.
Yes, I'm with United Healthcare. Sorry, I'm getting to mute.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? Any other providers? TSPN? I know we have department staff. Any other agencies or organizations? Disability rights, Hunter. Don't want to throw you on there to have to say that again. I got you down for that.
I would have done it halfway.
any other providers? Okay, thank you so much for giving me that time, Kirby. All you.
You're welcome. I think we're done, so I'll hand it over to you, Tim.
All right, great, thank you. Also, if you have others that are with you in on this call that may not be have been mentioned by name, if you have others individuals with you in the room that you would like to be accounted for, please be sure and let us know as well. We want to account for everyone that was available for the call, either on the call directly or in the room with others who were on the call. Just a couple of reminders. We've already been mentioned about this being electronic means meeting, and due to executive orders and being recorded. A couple other informations. Just please, when you are asked to speak or when we give reports, please be sure that you say your name, the name of the organization that you represent. Please say it as loudly and slowly so that Kayla can get that for the minutes. Please, when we give reports or information sharing, try to be as concise and time sensitive as possible so that we've got as much time to be able to give people opportunity to make announcements or give reports as possible. And again, speaking as clearly and distinctly as we can so that we make sure anyone gets accounted for. If you happen to join us after we've already started in roll call, please go ahead and introduce yourself so that we can make sure that Kayla does get you on the call. All right. You should have, most of you should have received a copy of the minutes of our August meeting. Let me begin before we get into the approval process of that, saying thank you for those of you who are willing and able to participate. We know that this meeting was moved up earlier than our normally scheduled meeting in November, and we did that in order for us to be able to continue to provide a COVID-19 safe means of providing electronic communication and conference calling to be able to do this. But appreciate you being able to reschedule and join this meeting almost a month earlier than we normally have these meetings. So again, thank you for that. Our last meeting was in August, and again, you should have copies of those minutes. So if you had a chance to review those, we'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as they are read or written. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
Sam Slagle, I motion.
Motion has been made by Sam. Do I hear a second?
Ms. Kay Lewither, I second the motion.
Motion made and seconded. Any changes, correction, or addition to the minutes? If not, I'll approve by saying aye. And I'll take that as all ayes. Since there are no noes and nays, we will say the minutes are approved. Old business. Just a reminder that we are continuing our membership enrollment and application process. If you are new to the council and have just joined, and I know we have a few that are coming on board even with this meeting that are going to be new to the council membership, and you need an application, please let Kayla Withrow know that, and she can send that application to you. Kayla, if you don't mind sharing your email address so that people can send that request to you. We want to try to enroll as many people as we can and make sure that we have accurate applications and accurate enrollment. So, Kayla, would you share your email address that people can contact you about an application?
Absolutely. You can email me at kwithrow, kwithrow, at frontierhealth.org.
Thank you, Kayla. Again, if you know of people that that you would like to invite that could be beneficial members of the council that may not be enrolled at this time, please reach out to them. Give them this information. We'll be happy to get them an application process and hopefully get them enrolled in our council. We are working vigorously and diligently to increase our enrollment and, much importantly, also make sure that our membership is accurate and up to date. Any other old business that needs to come back before the council? If not, we'll move into our new business. And we do have several things for new business. One being the election of some vacant positions within the council. We currently have about three vacancies that we do need to fill in the council to have our full coverage for all committees and assistant positions. So the first of those is we need the election of a new vice chair for our adult committee. Sam Slagle is the current chair, and the vice chair position has been vacant for a while now. So at this time, I want to open the floor up to nominations for a new vice chair to the adult committee.
Hi there, this is Sam Slagle. I would like to nominate Vonda Wagner.
Vonda Wagner has been nominated to be vice chair for the adult committee. Do I hear a second?
This is Melissa Birdwell with Frontier. I'll second.
The motion has been made and seconded. I think Vonda is on the call, and I just want to reach out to her and say, Vonda, will you accept this position if elected? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm assuming that's Vonda's trying to let us know yes. Any other nominations before we vote on this? No other nominations. Then all in favor of Vonda Wagner, the new vice chair for the adult committee, please say aye.
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 Aye. Hi, Tim.
Very good.
Tim, it's Kirby. Sorry. Vonda, if you don't mind, could you please email me your contact information? Oh, you just sent me a private chat. Thank you for your email. It just helps me keep track of the list.
Very good. So, negatives to this person for vice chair, I didn't hear any. So, Vonda, welcome to your new position. Thank you for being willing to serve as vice chair for the adult committee. We also need to elect, due to the resignation of our vice chair for the CNY committee, who is no longer with our organization or with an organization in this area. So, we will need to elect a new vice chair for the CNY subcommittee. So I'll open the floor this time for a nomination for vice chair for CNY subcommittee.
This is Kayla Witherow. I would like to nominate Melissa Birdwell.
Hey, Melissa Birdwell has been nominated. Do I hear a second? Do I hear a second to the nomination for Melissa Birdwell?
This is Sam Slagle. I second.
Thank you. Any other nominations? And I will turn to Melissa and say, Melissa, would you accept the vice chair for CNY subcommittee?
This is Melissa. Yes, I would do that.
Very good. All in favor of this, let it be known by saying in the phone or on the computer, aye.
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 Any objections by saying nay? And there is none. And Melissa, you're the new vice chair of the CNY subcommittee. Thank you. And if you'll let, if Kirby doesn't have your contact information, please make sure she gets that too. The last position we need to elect is the assistant secretary. Kayla has been gracious enough to continue in her role, even though she's changed a few positions within the company, continued in the role of assistant secretary. We appreciate that. She does need an assistant secretary. So at this time, I'll open the floor for nominations for assistant secretary.
This is Kayla Witherow, and I would like to nominate Melissa Birdwell if she is up for that position.
Hey, Melissa Birdwell has been nominated. Do I hear a second to that nomination?
To Sam Slagle, a second.
Sam? And I'll turn to Melissa and say, Melissa, would you accept the assistant secretary position?
Yes, I would do that.
All right. Thank you so much, Melissa. All in favor of Melissa Birdwell as the assistant secretary for the council, please say aye.
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 Any objections by saying nay? And there is none. So, Melissa, welcome as the new assistant secretary to the council. Thank you, folks, for willingness to step up to these positions. I think that now has all of our positions filled that we need to have filled at this time. So, again, my appreciation and thank you. And be sure that Kirby has your contact information if she does not have that already. This time, then, we'll move on for other new business. And next item is an update on our behavioral health safety net for kids. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Melissa Birdwell and let her give us an update about this new program within the department.
Sure, thank you. So as of September 1st, Tennessee did decide to do safety net for children, which is wonderful because safety net for adults has existed for a long time now, but for those under 18, we really didn't have anything. So now, safety net will be available to kids ages 3 to 17. And if you're not familiar with it, safety net is basically for kids, now kids and adults, who do not have any kind of insurance to cover their behavioral health needs or their mental health needs. And so with this, those needs will be covered. They will have access to all the services, whether it is case management, therapy, medication, and so on. So huge help. So we're excited to be able to provide this to kids. The other eligibility requirements, in case you're curious, is that the child would have to have a mental health disorder. They would, as I said, not be able to have any other health care coverage for behavioral health. The family does have an income limit of 138% of the poverty level. They do have to be a Tennessee resident, and they can't be in state's custody because obviously they would have teen care through that, and they can't be in any kind of inpatient or residential facility. But other than that, they would qualify. And I'm very excited to say that as part of this, we were able to have an outreach coordinator who actually started this week. She would be here to introduce herself, but she's in orientation at the moment. But for Frontier, that person is going to be Sarah DeAndre. So we do welcome her. Part of Sarah's job is just going to be to let people know that this program exists and to help families to set up services through the program. So excited to have this available and up and running.
Great. Thank you, Melissa. We are excited to have this new opportunity to reach the uninsured families of Northeast Tennessee and across the state. But we're excited to have Sarah on board with us and getting started. So if you know of or are aware of kids and families that may be uninsured that need behavioral health services, please feel free to reach out to myself or Melissa or very soon to our new outreach specialist and give her the contact information or some places that she can reach out to, and she will be our person in the field reaching out to families and kids, making sure that they have access to behavioral health services. Thank you. I will mention, and in continuing in the line of new business, that we are continuing to evaluate our needs for our area in preparation for our needs assessment. That is an ongoing and fluid process that needs to be continued at every call and throughout the months as we get ready to prepare that in final document. But COVID has changed our world immensely and changed the structure of a lot of things that we had developed in the common practice with. So as that has affected us and affected our accessibility and delivery of mental health services, we do want to take that into consideration as we evaluate what the needs are for our behavioral health, mental health services, and substance abuse services in our region. So please be thinking along those lines. Be thinking of what you can see as gaps that we may have that we would like to have addressed that could fill into our needs assessment. And we will be calling upon you to, in the very near future, to help identify some of those, start putting them into some perspective so that we can start a development, as we really already have started some development of our needs assessment plan to put in draft form. So please be thinking of those. If you have some thoughts around it, you can share those with us during this call or share them at any time through an email to myself or to any member of the council, the subcommittees, Sam for the adult committee, Kayla with the CNY committee. Share any of those ideas, and we will be glad to start collecting those and getting some thoughts around what needs are in our area that we want to be sure that are brought attention to and addressed in our needs assessment when time comes for us to be able to pull those together. So I just wanted to throw that out there and for us to continue to think about it. Along those same lines, I've asked Christy Tipton, our Director of Crisis Services, to come on board this call and give us an update about crisis services in our region and about the COVID hotline. So, Christy, if you're on the call, if you wouldn't mind, I'll turn the phone or the mic over to you at this time.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, this is Christy Tipton. I'm the Division Director for Crisis Services for Frontier Health. Crisis has been very, very busy with COVID and got a lot of new things going on. We have received a FEMA grant the last couple of months to provide virtual crisis counseling services related to COVID. So we have a hotline set up that is 7 days a week, 6P to 10P, and anybody in the community can call that's struggling with COVID for resources, coping skills, or just a chat. It's really kind of a chat line that we can use to help folks that are just struggling with a very varied things related to COVID. A lot of people in our community that have lost jobs, that have family members that are sick or have been sick themselves, under a lot of financial strain, and we've pulled resources from the community that we can refer people to help with those things. So that's been a really cool thing that we've been able to do. We're getting ready to start. We just got an expansion with the COVID grant, and it's going to go through right now to the end of June. So we're going to be starting some in-person and virtual debriefings. And what that is basically is you collect about 10, 15 people of a certain area. For example, we're focusing right now on teachers. We just did some debriefings with our local health departments so that they can kind of debrief about COVID and talk about their own experience and learn some new coping skills and ways to help with that. So we're really excited about that. We're expanding our team. I've got a couple of new positions open for that. CSU, our crisis stabilization unit, is staying pretty full. We've got crisis in general is busy with mobile crisis and the emergency rooms, but our walk-in center the volume continues to expand there. Seeing a lot of acuity, seeing a lot of folks use our services. And we're starting to see kids pick up since kids are going back to school. So we're just kind of hitting it and getting it. So there's a lot of things going on here. I'm trying to think with the COVID grant if there's anything else. I will send out a rec card to Tim so that he can disperse that if anybody's interested in getting that out. If you have different groups that you would like to request a debriefing or an educational session or just would like to have some rec cards to hand out to folks that are using your services, just feel free to give us a call on that number and we'll be happy to help with that. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Christy. I really appreciate that. This is such a needed service, this COVID hotline. I understand it is being used, and we do want to make people aware of it. And this is a stressful and anxiety-provoking time for many people, most of us in general. And just to have a resource to help get some contacts for other resources that may be available for us, or to have a debriefing, I think is a very valuable service. So thank you, Christy, and thanks for that information. We will share that that RAC card with the council membership when I get that copy of that.
Thank you.
Any other new business? Anything else new before we move on to reports? All right, then we'll go down the list of some of our reports. So we'll start with the Adult Committee. Sam, any report?
I don't think I have anything to report.
All right.
We do have a COVID grant that will help some funding for some adults with Frontier if anybody has any needs. But other than that, we got not much going on.
Okay, thank you, Sam. CNY Committee, Kayla.
I don't have anything to report, but I'm really excited to learn about the Children's Behavioral Health Safety Net. So that's definitely a big thing for us in the CMY world.
Thank you, Kayla. I will say that, as Christy mentioned, all of our schools in the Northeast region now, for the most part, are back in face-to-face, in-person classes. They have some rotation. Some are still having some rotation, and parents are still in some of the schools able to do by choice to do some virtual. But for the most part, most of the students in our area are now back in the classroom in some kind of schedule face to face. And as we've seen that, we have already begun to see a number of behavioral health issues around trauma and anxiety and relationship issues, depression, as kids have gone through what we're still going through in this health crisis, and now getting back into a classroom setting, and it is extremely stressful and unique kind of schooling that these kids are trying to experience with masks and the safety precautions that's being taken. So we're trying to make availability as much resources to the schools, teachers, administration, and our students and families as we can, but I think the next few months we may see even more of this kind of reactions and responses to what we've all been going through and are still going through with the COVID pandemic. Legislative, we have no report from the Legislative Committee. MCOs.
Hi. This is Kibriar Carl Bryant with United Healthcare Community Plan. First, I'd like to thank Kirby for pronouncing my name so perfectly well. I'm so impressed. Thank you, Kirby.
I have lots of questions, Kibriar.
Yes, United Healthcare continues sponsoring the community, as always, supporting the community and sponsoring events in the community. We are doing the same things as we did before. Everything went online. Everything is virtual now. So I'm continuing to support all that. If there are any events coming up you need sponsorship with, please let me know. As usual, we are just doing business as usual, but everything is online. So keep me in your databases and emails, and if you need us, please let me know.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The other MCOs. Do we have any inpatient facilities? Creekside, Woodridge? Christy, any other updates on CSU or crisis? Okay, any up? I don't think we have anybody from Youth Villages. Anybody joined from NAMI? Community Justice? TCCY?
Hello, this is Jill Stott with Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth. Really no updates. We are continuing to work virtually, continuing to provide educational opportunities through virtual means, and working on our legislative breakfast moving forward, which will be for Northeast Tennessee, which will be November the 20th. So stay tuned for details, and it will also be virtual.
Okay,
Tim, one more thing, please. We just finished last Friday. We did a trauma-informed policing training and trained over 200 folks across the state, and it was a three-hour trauma-informed training with Becky Haas. It was a phenomenal training. That video should be up very soon. Again, we can't offer any credit. We're working on embedding the videos that were shown throughout the training, but that's a great resource for any first responders.
Great, thank you for sharing that. ADRC, do we have anybody with TSPN? TMHCA? Disability rights.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know. I know some of you may not even know what we do, but and hopefully I can get, once we get back to kind of normal, I can get a presentation on that again. But we've restructured our agency quite a bit to focus more attention on children and youth facilities. So I'd love to speak with folks working in children and youth about the work that we're doing there. We're really focused on the psychiatric residential treatment facilities, and we're very interested in the quality of education that children are getting in facilities and if it's up to par. So anything like that you want to discuss, you can contact me. We're also split up into four groups now. So there's the adult statewide group, which is my main group. Then we have an adult local group that will do our monitoring and lots of our investigative work. And then we'll have a children and youth statewide and a children and youth local group. So I'd like to send something out to you all so that you'd know who to contact in those groups and kind of a rundown of what types of things we might be able to help you with. So you should see something from me. I guess I can send that out to who do I need to send that to? Tim?
You can send that to me, Hunter, and I can just put that as an added resource on the minutes when I send those out.
Okay.
This is Kayla, sorry.
Kayla, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Hunter. We're glad to have you part of our council, and look forward to hearing more about disability rights and presentation from you down the road. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
Any other providers? If not, then I'll turn it over to Kirby for a departmental update.
Thanks, Tim. Before I get started, I just want to mention for your minutes, Kayla, that Avis Easley with the department was able to join the call as well. Let's see. Let me pull up my update. And Kayla, I'll email this to you. Well, you and Melissa, the new assistant secretary, to attach to your minutes as well. So let me, my computer's being a little slow. Okay. So like Tim said, my name is Kirby Fine with the department. Have a few updates since the last time we met in August. Pretty exciting updates. The first, not so exciting, because it's still in progress. This was on my last update. Year two of the FY 2021 three-year plan is still in progress. It should be done within the next few weeks. We just had some additions we made to it. Regional councils will have an opportunity to review at that time. So be on the lookout. The FY 2021 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 13th. The FY 2021 mental health block grant report is in progress. councils will also have an opportunity to review that as well in the near future. Piggybacking off of what was mentioned earlier about the Children's Behavioral Safety Net, this program offers an array of essential mental health services for uninsured Tennesseans ages 3 to 17. Services are available for family incomes at or below 138% federal poverty level. Governor Bill Lee and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated approximately $7.6 million in new state funding in the current fiscal year to create the Children's Behavioral Safety Net. Services that are available through this service include assessment and evaluation, individual therapy, group therapy, family therapy, case management, transportation, family support services, medication management, and pharmacy assistance and coordination. A total of 14 community mental health centers with 136 locations statewide are participating in the program. I've included a link to access where the providers are in your area. This can be found on the department website, but I've also included it in this update that will be shared with Kayla. The department is expanding its school-based behavioral health liaison program to all 95 counties in the state. Governor Bill Lee budgeted and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated an increase of $3 million for the current fiscal year to expand the program. School-based behavioral health liaisons provide face-to-face consultation with classroom teachers who enhance learning environments for children who have or are at risk for serious emotional disturbance, behavioral problems, or substance use disorders. Liaisons also provide training and education for classroom teachers and serve as a link between schools and families. Liaisons currently serve elementary, middle, and high schools in 36 Tennessee counties. In state fiscal year 2020, which ended June 30th, liaisons served about 7,500 children, youth, and 2,500 teachers. Liaisons also held more than 11,000 individual counseling sessions and 7,300 individual consultations. The Tennessee Recovery Navigators are celebrating two successful years of connecting people who come into emergency rooms with treatment for substance use disorder. Navigators are people with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery who are able to use their history to relate to the patients they meet. Since the program started in June 2018, the Tennessee Recovery Navigators have interfaced with 3,776 people in emergency rooms. In state fiscal year 2020, 77% of the patients who met with a navigator were placed in treatment. Navigators are employed by 8 community agencies spread across the state. In 2 years, the reach of the program has grown to 38 hospitals in 21 Tennessee counties. When it began, the program focused on emergency room patients who survived an opioid overdose. As it grew, the program's scope expanded to include people presenting in active withdrawal or with a primary substance use disorder. A new report published by the department details the successes of the Tennessee Recovery Navigator program and includes testimonials and shows data collected. To view the report, you can go to www.tn.gov/recoverynavigators. I've also included the link in this update, Kayla. And lastly, this email or this announcement was sent to regional councils 2 weeks ago, I believe, on October 1st, 2020. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, through the Health Resources and Services Administration, announced $20 billion in new funding for providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Under this Phase 3 general distribution allocation, providers that have already received provider relief fund payments will be invited to apply for additional funding that considers financial losses and changes in operating expenses caused by the coronavirus. Previously, ineligible providers, such as those who began practicing in 2020, will also be invited to apply. And an expanded group of behavioral health providers confronting the emergence of increased mental health and substance use issues exacerbated by the pandemic will also be eligible for relief payments. The deadline to apply is Friday, November 6th. For more information, I have also included a link. It's on www.hhs.gov, but I've also included a link in my update. And that's all I have.
Kirby. Anything else from the department, Avis or Kurt?
Hi, Tim. This is Avis. No, I don't have anything to add to Kurt, what Kirby said.
Thank you, Avis.
Hey, Tim. This is Kurt Hipple. I just want to say thank you to everyone who participates. Thanks for working with us to move the meeting up and be able to provide a safe electronic meeting place for Region 1. And I hope everyone's doing well and keep up the good work. Let us know if you need anything.
Thank you, Kurt. All right. Any other reports or announcements from anyone before we move to adjourn the meeting? If not, then I will open the floor for a motion to adjourn.
This is Kayla Withrow. I motion.
Motion has been made by Kayla Withrow. Do I hear a second?
This is Melissa.
All right. Thank you, Sam. So the next meeting, since we will not be meeting in November as normal, well, the next meeting for us scheduled will be February of 2021. That's Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021 at 10 a.m. And right now it's scheduled for in person at the Frontier Health Corporate Office. That is subject to change depending on the pandemic and how we are in February of next year, whether or not it will be by virtual or in person. But again, that's Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2021 at 10 a.m. So if no other information or announcements, then this meeting will stand adjourned. And thank you all for being participants and for being here. Appreciate everyone. Thank you. Good day. Have a great day.
Thanks, all. Have a good one.
Bye.